Greetings, all you grand and gallant gamers, to yet another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that weekly show that looks to the past while pondering the future. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this nostalgic quest, a journey that this time takes us to the world of game preservation, or more specifically for this episode, the hard-fought cause for backwards compatibility. And what is backwards compatibility? Well, it's a console's ability to play the games of a previous system, thus allowing older titles to survive, even thrive, in the modern day. Unfortunately, this no-brainer of a feature is one that has, at best, only been half-heartedly embraced by console manufacturers over the years, and at worst, completely ignored. But backwards compatibility is important, and recent news concerning the next generation of systems is giving gamers some cause for pause. Once upon a time, backwards compatibility was a topic on everyone's mind, even non-enthusiasts. Back in the good old NES days, when word first got out that Nintendo was prepping to launch its new console, the Super Nintendo, the media loved showing irate parents rant about being forced to invest in this newfangled gizmo that refused to play their previously purchased games. If VCRs could play movies from 10 years ago, why couldn't the Nintendo? Indeed, the Big N itself had actually planned to provide SNES/NES support originally, but removed the feature later due to, presumably, pricing concerns. Sega's solution was the so-called Power Base Converter, a clunky device that fastened atop the Genesis and thus granted access to its 8-bit predecessors, the Master System, library of games. Nintendo would later return to flirt more with the concept too, creating the decidedly more elegant Super Game Boy attachment that played Game Boy games via the SNES on any typical TV. These methods were better than nothing, of course, but still proved inconvenient and pricey for most consumers. Why not just provide backwards compatibility right inside the new console to begin with? Enter Sony, the first company I'm aware of that took this notion seriously. While the Sega Saturn and Nintendo 64 are completely divorced from their respective forebears' libraries, the PS2 open-dies by packing PS1 compatibility right out of the box. This is because the PS2 actually uses PS1 hardware as part of its design, which grants the ancillary effect of running 99% of the PS1's library. Not only do these legacy games play well, they even look a little better too, treating gamers with two generations worth of games to enjoy in what is practically a countless selection. Not so with Nintendo, though. Its GameCube being disc-based certainly couldn't run Nintendo 64 games, although the Game Boy Player attachment would at least add the ability to play Game Boy Advance a little later in its lifespan. The real test, however, came with the 7th generation of video game systems. Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft were the big three remaining, and each had released at least one console already. Would their newest machine support all their previously released games? The answer is surprisingly complicated. Nintendo did, for a while, with its Wii. players could pop in a GameCube disc and it would run just fine, until the Big N removed the feature a few years later. Microsoft took a middle-of-the-road approach, making its Xbox 360 compatible with the bigger hits of the previous generation. You know, the Halos and the whatnot. But this selection was relatively thin in number. Sony proved the most confounding, though, after promising gamers its PS3 would play practically everything from both PS1 and PS2 machines. Sony soon reneged on the deal, unapologetically removing its PS2 playback feature. PS1 compatibility remained, but gamers wanting to play PS2 titles conveniently on HD displays were now out of luck unless they had purchased the console early on. And today? Well, it's gotten worse, despite building backwards compatibility into its Game Boy, DS, and 3DS lines. Nintendo killed the feature for its Switch, leaving the system unable to play anything but its own titles. Same for the PS4. Sony didn't even bother trying this time around, hoping people would subscribe to its PS Now service if they really had a hankering for some PS3 action. The bright spot, curiously enough, is Microsoft, which has been hard at work implementing backwards compatibility into all of its modern consoles. The current Xbox One line can play a limited selection of games spanning the previous two generations. In other words, gamers who own an Xbox One can potentially play games from 20 years ago. Again, this selection is rather limited, but it's still better than nothing, and certainly better than the competition. Why does any of this matter? Several words, really. Convenience, space, value. But from an enthusiast or collector standpoint, the key word is preservation. There's something special about taking a vintage disc from years back, placing it into a newly purchased system, and seeing it magically boot up. Indeed, who needs another mini retro console or some ephemeral digital marketplace when the same tried and true physical copy still works? A living piece of history in hand. And speaking of digital marketplaces, we all know that games on those services can disappear without warning, never to be seen again. Heck, the services themselves can be taken offline at any time, as seen in the death of Nintendo's Wii Shop. Even games downloaded from these services may not be retrievable someday. Worse still, old game consoles are also likely doomed to die in time. My PS3 is loaded with great titles I bought digitally over the years, but even though the PSN is still running for the moment, once my PS3 dies, those games are still gone until I invest in another PS3 and download them all over again. And wait, wondering, again, how long that new PS3 will last. I mean, what happens when there aren't any easily obtainable PS3s left, nor a PSN to retrieve games from in the first place? Which brings us to modern-day hearsay. Word has it that the PS5 will not provide access to PS3 games and before, only most PS4 titles. This news comes as a serious blow to discerning gamers hoping, even praying, their piles of games ranging back to the PS1 might live again on one singular system. Microsoft is still doing the best here, promising its latest console will support games going back to the original Xbox. This even includes some digital-only games, which is nice. But again, not every game is supported, making even this effort a rather scattershot affair. In the end, physical copies are the best way to preserve gaming's legacy, but only so long we have consoles to play them on. And when one takes account of all the digital-only releases out there, making video games future-proof becomes even more paramount, lest we begin losing games forever down those sands of time. This is why we should stand together and champion backwards compatibility in its finest and most versatile forms, while also encouraging the easy transfer and re-downloading of digital titles as seen on the seamless service Steam. Nintendo has a long way to go on this front. Yeah, the upcoming PS5 looks great, but I might just consider an Xbox Series X instead, thanks to Microsoft's efforts in preserving our past. Backwards compatibility, remembering history, is really that important. So follow your heart, support the companies who deserve it, and encourage the others to consider the more righteous path. That way, we all win in the end. Thanks for listening, everyone, and this is Mr. Picario signing off for now.